News Talk 790 KFYO. Thank you very much for tuning in. Election Day here on the South Plains, West Texas, SD28 special election. Joining me right now to urge people to get out and vote, Representative Charles Perry, Republican, running in the special election for Senate District 28. Representative Perry, welcome back to the show.
Hey, I appreciate it. Sorry I couldn't make it down there in person. I've got a little IRS matter I'm working on for a client. So sometimes you pick your battles, and this one was picked for me.
I'm glad you said for a client. Otherwise, yeah. You know, we would have gone a different line of questioning there.
Yeah, I hear you. No, it's just always subject to interpretation a lot of times on this end. But we're working through it. But I broke out of that meeting to visit with you.
Well, I appreciate it. Let's talk real quick, and I know we've talked about it in the past, but about one of the ads that keeps hitting you, and it's on your two no votes on water. I know you eventually ended up voting for the water plan, but tell listeners who maybe still have some questions your reasoning behind those two votes and how that entire situation developed.
Well, pretty clearly, there were multiple votes on multiple versions of the water plan throughout the session. If you'll look to the only two that matter, which is HB 4, which establishes the water plan that was voted in through the constitutional amendment in November. Now, HB 4 establishes the framework for that, and then HB 1025 gave authorization subject to the November vote to move the money over to fund the water plan. So on the funding and on the actual establishment of the water bill, I am a yes on both. Prior to that, here's where the politics of the day and the deceit and the dishonesty plays. There was multiple votes, some coming out of committee, some coming out of the House floor, and it was a debate about whether we wanted to use our savings account to fund the water plan versus use our surplus checking account. The idea being that we had a rainy day fund that was used in the prior session, $3 billion of it, to actually fund checks so that we wouldn't bounce checks to the state during the downturn. So I was very familiar with the importance of having it. And I wanted to have that debate. And sometimes you vote no in a committee to send a message to the 150 members on the floor that we've got to talk about this before we go down this road of using that money in that capacity. Because what we were actually doing, changing fundamental foundational rules, spending caps and other things that had been in place and served the state well by that vote. So I wanted to have that debate and hear it out. And then the overall, the bigger picture here, as in my op-ed that I voted, I'm very transparent, put it out there for all to see. We were actually not going to be able to use the money that we were moving until March of 2015, actually before we come into 2015. So there would not have been no way to use the money that we were moving until the next session, at which time we could have budgeted it without the spending cap issues coming into play. So I just wanted to have that debate. So there were two no votes that were actually talking about funding and whether we wanted to move money from our savings account or use our checking account, those kind of concepts. And did we really want to go down the road of busting spending caps? So all that to say is ultimately those were not options that were available. I had always planned on funding and water plan and voting in a water plan capacity. But prior to that, we had great debate and discussion whether that was the best alternative. House members decided in a majority way, I think 148 voted for. That was one of those groups I was in. And then on the second version of that, to actually move the dollars, I voted yes on that. So, you know, half-truths are as bad as lies. They're intentionally half-truths, and they set people up for, dishonesty and really confusion. And that's too important of an issue, and this race is too important of an issue to play those kind of games.
Well, let's talk about education a little bit. Earlier this morning here on KFYO, your opponent mentioned that we're not spending enough on education, that education spending is lacking. Do you feel the same way? If not, how do we tackle education funding going forward? Obviously, that's going to be a big issue in the next legislative session.
Yeah, the courts are going to give us some guidance on that. But I can tell you in this district, there are schools that are held high regard that are low-performing socioeconomic schools, free and reduced lunch schools. And they're getting it done, and they're graduating kids that are job-ready and college-ready. So, you know, funding's important, but how we spend that funding and the effects we seek from that funding are probably just as important or more. So I'm always about looking at what our outcomes desired are, and are we meeting those objectives? And if not, can we tweak the system, revamp the system? And HB 5 was the beginning of doing that last session. So coming back into this one, we're going to be able to evaluate HB 5 in hindsight. We've recognized some shortcomings in it. and take HB5 to the next level, which is bringing job-ready certifications recognized by industries into the classroom and public schools and giving those kids opportunity. But the actual funding of that, we're going to have to evaluate whether there's enough dollars in the system. But to date, I'd say that I think we fund $40 billion to public education of all funds, state and local and federal. Actually, you add the local to that number. From the state budget, it's $40 billion. It's the number one priority in our budget, as it should be. And I don't see those changing. There may be more money because of growth put into that. I've heard the discussion that we don't fund growth. We do fund growth, and we'll continue to do that.
Visiting Representative Charles Perry running in the special election here for SD 28, Republican in that race. And as we wrap up today's interview, Representative Perry, I know people are out there. They're looking to vote. I'll give you two things to get into as you wrap up this interview with us. One, what are your priorities going to be if elected into the Senate? And two, why should people vote for you over your opponents?
Great. Well, number one priority is protect West Texas and the rural values that where this district's full of. Our education needs are different. Our road needs are different. Our healthcare needs are different. So number one, recognize and represent rural West Texas the way it should be and recognize when someone's trying to distract or to take away from that. That's part of the experience I bring to this process. So why am I the best guy? Two sessions in the House. I've developed a reputation, a credible reputation, a record that you can go back and look at, and it mirrors what I said I would do and what the district expected me to do. Relationships, credibility on both sides of the aisle, on both sides of the chamber, to where I'm able to go to work the first day of the Senate. I don't have a learning curve to overcome. I don't have reputations and relationships to build. And in this time in the state that we're in with what we've got coming from the federal government, I think you need somebody that can go to work from day one instead of spending half or more of the session just learning how the thing works. So that's why I think I'm the best guy for the season we're in.
All right. Representative Charles Perry, as always, appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Have a good one. We'll let you get back to your client now, okay?
Yeah, I've about finished up. I appreciate you.
Thank you very much. That's Representative Charles Perry.